This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Tank Dell, it looks like he may miss this game on Sunday. That's a shame, because we're all waiting for the breakout performance for this offense that involves all of the pieces. Good news is you still got Stephon Diggs and Nico Collins out there. D'Amico Ryans, I mean, I didn't see a ton of heat for this, but I guess there was enough out there where someone felt compelled to ask the question. Is there concern with having a player like Tank playing late in a – I think it's a valid question, too, by the way – late in a blowout game because of the potential for an injury happening?
No concern for me. Injuries can happen at any given time. What if the injury happened first play of the game? Should he be out there? We can't control when injuries happen. Guys are going to go play. That's part of our game, part of the nature of the business. When you play this game, unfortunately, injuries happen. Nobody can predict when injuries happen or when a guy should be in, shouldn't be in.
That's the closest I've heard, D'Amico, to getting like a little chippy with an answer. You know, like we're.
Yeah.
Because D'Amico doesn't often do the thing that chippy head coaches do, where they respond with a question back to the reporter. And that was kind of, I don't know how rhetorical the question was or if he was really looking for an answer, but there was enough of a pause there to where it felt like, oh, okay.
It's funny because this is one of those things where I think in a bad loss, there's no right answer for anybody and nobody's going to be placated by anything. Yeah. Are the Texans supposed to pull all of their starters?
Right.
Which is, by the way, mathematically impossible in the game of football on a Sunday. Damn near mathematically impossible. Are you supposed to pull all your starters off the field? Are you supposed to selectively pick which starters to pull and which to leave on? Are the fans going to be totally cool with the next two extra touchdowns that are tacked on because of it? I mean, it's a violent game, and guys play football, and your starters are going to be out there. You're going to try to the Texans at this point in the season, they need all the damn reps they can get because the training camp offense didn't do it for them.
Yeah.
You know, they have not functioned offensively the way they need to be functioning. So I don't need to treat these guys with kid gloves. I know on the broadcast they were saying like, all right, it's time to pull CJ Stroud. There's a boneheaded, meathead, old school element to me that doesn't like pulling anybody in football games because you're losing. There is just part of it where, man, like, listen, part of the comeuppance and not going out and performing is that you got to sit out there through that fourth quarter, which is the longest damn 15 minutes of your life when you're getting destroyed, because it just time moves down to just a trickle through the hourglass. It sucks. And you just have to sit out there and stew on it. I don't feel the need to pull Tank Dell just because you're getting the crap beat out of you.
I'm
more reps. I don't care. It's football.
Ben, we'll skip back up to D'Amico and CJ on these other topics, but let's just get real quick, as long as we're talking about Tank. Here's CJ Stroud on how things – well – what to do without Tank in there.
It's hard to say. You know, we haven't had to deal with that this year, but, you know, we have other guys that are well equipped, but would we love one of the best receivers in the league to be out there? For sure, you know. But, you know, it's always sadly in the league, next man up, got to find a way to win a football game, you know what I mean? So, you know, we're praying for Tank. Hope he's okay. And we know that hopefully he's trending up, you know. But whatever happens, we got to be able to try to win.
Who do you think we see more of? Do you think we see more Xavier Hutchinson, do you think we see? I mean, Mechie's been inactive, so it's hard to imagine he goes from inactive to jumping over everybody else.
Yeah.
Do we see more Robert Woods because they like the veteran presence? Do we see more two tight end sets in there? Do they throw to the backs a little more? Like, what do you think?
Are we going to say who are we going to see? Who's going to replace the three catches per game that Tank Dell's been getting?
No. I mean, yes, I guess, but you know, Tank's a. Tank brings
no,
an element.
I know.
Yeah,
who
yeah.
do they use more? Like, regardless of what the actual targets
yes.
or receptions
yeah,
are.
Like how, yeah.
I think it ends up being probably Xavier Hutchinson.
Yeah.
Or maybe Robert Woods. Maybe it ends up being Robert Woods. I think now, all right, this is the thing. You're going against an offense or a defense in the Jaguars that they play a lot of man. And their really good rookie there is injured. Now, rookie cornerback is injured. But the Jaguars have played a lot of man, whether their starting cornerbacks are healthy or not. And I think that there's going to be more opportunities downfield this week than there have been these last few weeks where they played a lot of cornerbacks that are in zone a lot. I think there will be opportunities. I think Xavier Hutchinson is still the guy that fits into the offense best and
yeah.
seems to be most fully integrated into it. So it's probably just more snaps out of Xavier Hutchinson.
Yeah, that's where I'm
so
going with it.
John Mechie might be active, but Xavier Hutchinson ends up getting more snaps and routes and targets and all that.
That'd be fun to see. CJ Stroud talked about this confidence level, knowing his team is going against likely going against a lot of man coverage this week.
We're confident in everything, you know, like zone and man and fire zone, and you know, we've kind of seen it all this year, especially playing against a team that's kind of does what they like, what they're gonna do week one, week two with Gus and the Colts, and then week two and then week three against Minnesota. They kind of do everything, so then we've gotten a good rapport of just like defenses playing is different. But you know, we've more so got zone, so you know, we're willing to play anything. We whatever it is, we got to just find a way to win.
Yeah, and I think it's impossible to predict exactly what the Jaguars will do, because the three teams the Texans just faced are comfortable. And now I know you're going to think, I know a lot of people are thinking, yeah, but the Vikings blitz a lot. Yeah, but they do a lot of it with zone, playing zone behind the blitz, and they do a really good job of mixing and matching and blending all of their coverages. The Jaguars have just lined up and played man more frequently than these previous three teams, and they'll stick with it even if they're getting destroyed. So I think there's a part of them like that think, hey, this is what we do, and we're going to get good at doing this. But I always go back to that year a few years ago when teams really started playing cover two against Pat Mahomes and wanted to just take the top off that offense. And that's what pretty much every defense was doing against them, except for the Raiders, who said, nope, we're going to line up and do what we do. And it wasn't even a lot of man. It was a lot of cover three. But, like, they just weren't playing. They weren't playing as conservatively as other teams had been. And the Chiefs just destroyed them. They looked like the old Chiefs offense. So
that would be nice.
Yeah, I think I think maybe the Jaguars. For one, the Texans offense so far hasn't been as explosive or as scary. But part of that has been that teams have done the appropriate thing against them to take the passing game out of it. This is the kind of stuff that gets coaches fired. If the Jaguars say, like, nope, we're going to line up and we're going to play man versus these guys. And then if Nico Collins goes off for 250 yards, that might be what blows the Jaguars up.
Yeah.
Or maybe they do a good job of it.
Yeah. A lot of people weighing in on Tank. Look, he's a smaller receiver. I think that's why in the offseason the Texans went out and got another receiver. He's probably going to be hurt often in his career.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Another text. Tank will be a one-hit wonder, won't be any good. Okay, I dismissed that text roundly. That answer made no sense from D'Amico. The difference between the beginning of the game and the end was that the Texans had a chance of winning at the beginning of the game as opposed to the end of the game.
Well, there is that part of it, too, where, like, okay, I don't think D'Amico is wired to accept whatever the spreadsheet says on chances of winning the game. I think there is also – I mean, there's still a part of me, man, as long as there's 4 minutes in the game remaining and you are allowed to onside kick with 2 minutes left – I don't like the message it sends to a team if you just pack up the tents. I do think there's a culture thing there, and some people don't like that because they think it's either too rah rah or what have you. I just know it as a player on the field. I always lost a little bit of respect for a coach when he quit.
Yeah,
you know, when they quit when there's still a mathematical chance of being in the game.
Yeah.
And you can tell, oh, they're quitting, or they're just trying to save face now.
Yep.
I always lost respect for that coach.
Yeah.
I didn't like it. I want to fight until I'm dead, you know?
Yeah. I understand that. I do.
What point in the game was it? How much time was left on the clock when Tank got hurt?
I couldn't tell. I couldn't see when he got hurt. I heard more about him leaving with, like, a hand injury.
Yeah.
They were looking
but
at
then
his
he
hand.
Came back and then broke the four ribs later.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I don't know. Rennell Blanco getting some support as well. Someone mentions the two innings. If you missed it, the previous segment, Seth and I went back and forth on what the playoff rotation outside of the top three guys would look like if you get into an ALDS or an ALCS and you start to need more guys. Blanco has a 2.88 ERA right now. It's not like he's completely collapsed. That's a text message. The two innings he was out of the bullpen, and that's what I'd forgotten about. When you said his game log was five innings, two innings, six innings, in my mind, I'm like, okay, well, he must have gotten chased and got shelled in the two-inning outing. He finished that game because they skipped him in the rotation. I guess with Rennell Blanco, if you go look at his game log prior to September, he should have made the All-Star game, a lot of people felt. So he comes back after the All-Star game, and in his seven starts for the remainder of July and in August, his ERA was around 5. And this is at a time where Fromber is rising, Hunter Brown is dealing, Eric Geddy was dealing. They traded for Kikuchi, who's been great since day one. And so I think for me, the reason he was probably out of mind for me is because not just that he had regressed, but it had been such a stark contrast. That's why they skipped him in the rotation. He was such a stark contrast from him and everybody else.
Yeah, and I think that's where one of the plans that they had when they added Kikuchi was, all right, guys like Blanco, they could really use an extra day of rest at least. And I think it paid dividends. I think it started to, now you're seeing, okay, hopefully a Blanco that's more rejuvenated over the course of this last month.
Yeah.
And in the playoffs, you don't have to use him heavily, and he's going to get rest between starts. I would not be surprised at all if there's a Charlie Morton-type performance out of him in the playoffs.
I agree with that
wholeheartedly. He comes in the third inning and finishes the entire game or something like that.
Yes, I could see that. I could definitely see that, for sure. Maybe not the whole.
And by the way, everybody, I was exaggerating about Tank Dell's four broken ribs. That's not the actual injury. He's got a rib / chest injury, but not a. Yeah.
Yep.
I realized we moved quickly into something else, and I didn't want somebody to think I was serious on that.
No, that's okay. The Blanco thing, I could see him doing some Charlie Morton stuff. I think Hader will still be finishing games because if you remember that 2017 team, Ken Giles was the closer, and he was lost. Like they had to go with Morton and McCullers. And, you know, pitching three or four innings to end games because they had no closer at that point. So they traded for Osuna the next year.
That's why he was wearing that no bleeps given T-shirt in the celebration for the World Series.
Well, yeah.
He was. He still gets a guy. I was happy for Giles in that moment that he could still enjoy it even though he'd been kind of just pushed off to the side.
Giles was a weirdo, man. Punching himself in the face walking off.
I know. Giles is a tortured soul.
Yes.
That's old school. Giles might have been one of the last true nut jobs you'll see in professional sports. Now these kids, they get all the good stuff, positivity and everything drilled into their head from such a young age, which is good. It's good. I'm not being Joe old school that way. But I feel like we don't get as many genuine basket cases that we used to.
No, not like Giles.
Like Framber. Framber, we saw the transformation before our very eyes.
Yep.
You know,
he could
have been an old school basket case.
The Athletic, this just dropped. The Athletic did a vote of 40 anonymous executives and coaches on who the best front offices are in the NFL. This is interesting. Did the Texans make the cut for the top 10 front offices in the NFL? Just years, just a couple years removed from a 3-win season and just a few years removed from having Jack Easterby running everything. We'll let you know. We'll give you the results coming up next.